This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
What a happy opening song. You know, when you're a little down and you're watching riots across your country, it's always good to listen to a little bit of Bizet's Carmen. Karen Cataline, welcome to Spouting Off. I'm happy to be with you. Been busy, busy, busy writing an op-ed and all the other pontificating that I attempt to do. If you'd like to join me in this first segment, please, you can call me toll-free, 888-627-6008. A couple of things. Today is May 29th, and this is our number 114th show. We just love telling you that because, well, there's a whole lot of shows on my website. All the archives of Spouting Off are there at www.karencataline.com. Today is May 29th, JFK's birthday, my mother's birthday, who's no longer with us, and Bob Hope's birthday. So I always remember May 29th for that reason. My mother was always very proud to be born on JFK's birthday. He's, well, I don't know, 6 years older than her. He would be almost 100 now. Idyllic times compared to today. Our parents, who may or may not be with us, would never have believed that we are watching such things. They would not believe it. So I've been trying to take a look at it from, shall we say, 30,000 feet. And that's difficult to do because what the irony of it is, and I've been working on this and I'm so focused on it that I figure I would just share it with all of you. I have a piece coming out very, very soon. It's just being edited. And I'll give you the heads up on the title of it because I like it and because I think that it ties together two things that sometimes talk show hosts look at everything in a vacuum. How can they possibly do that in times like this? But I am blessed to be able to do my own show as well as fill in for other people. Really a lot of fun. And so here's my take. The same shade of gray. Why socialists are threatened by individuality. You're going, wait a second, what does that have to do with riots in Minneapolis and in Denver and in cities all across the country coming off of a coronavirus, which has been used as an excuse to rob us of our most precious freedoms? I say that with very strong assertions that that is what's happening. It bugs me sometimes when I hear people try to justify a virus that is less deadly than the influenza, the seasonal flu, and yet it's been used in the most dramatic, the most histrionic, the most unethical ways to rob us of our freedom. People didn't even sneeze at almost 100,000 people dying of the seasonal influenza. In this case, people over 80. Now, while we're being accused of being, oh, so selfish and heartless, cold and cruel, that too is propaganda and lies because the same people that have been accusing us of not caring about the elderly are the people who put coronavirus positive people, sometimes violent, deadly people, into nursing homes to hammer them, if you saw that horrific video, and to infect people who are the most vulnerable, to allow them to die at home. I heard horrific stories of as soon as if they were coronavirus positive, they were given morphine and put in hospice. Now, is that happening all across the country in nursing homes? No, but what stops the violence and abuse in nursing homes is often family members who watch out for their loved ones, and they have not been allowed in nursing homes. So before you or any of your friends decide that we're the selfish ones, and we, by that I mean conservatives who are deeply and profoundly concerned about the rule of law, our God-given rights and freedoms, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, nothing too small, as was said in in All the President's Men. Nothing's riding on this, you understand, just the Constitution and America as we know it. And that is just how serious and just how profound these times are in which we are living. As I am apt to do, I do tend to go around the bend sometimes, but I always come back to the overall thought here. So while we're watching a complete pivot, within just a few days, if you were watching, mainstream media, I don't even like calling them the mainstream, the propaganda media shift from the coronavirus, which was all coronavirus all the time before Memorial Day. The moment Memorial Day was over on Tuesday and just before, we were seeing race stories, racial stories, race baiting stories. They pick and choose, as they are always accustomed to doing, stories that will inflame and horrify people. Are there always inflaming, horrifying stories? Yeah. But are they using it for political purposes? Absolutely. Now, yesterday when I filled in for the wonderful Keith Hansen, I had not seen the entire video. And I don't want it to ever be said that I think that's okay. That is not frickin' okay. But, well, there's not even a but. It's not okay as far as I can tell. Sure, I want more information, but there's nothing I can see that makes that video okay. I used to be more of a fan of Live PD. I mean, I just thought that was such a great show when they started lecturing people about staying inside and staying safe despite the opposite that we found out when they shifted, because the head of the multi-mogul billionaire Dan Abrams, who's got all these shows on A&E that I used to be such a fan of, he's a leftist. He's a well-known leftist. When he shifted into letting us all know how concerned and virtue signaling he is about our safety and all of our health, and then covering cops who were enforcing laws of social distancing and mask wearing instead of taking care of criminals, well, then I wasn't really so interested, because, you know, when you're worried about a police state, you're not so excited about extolling the virtues of cops. On the other hand, that brings me directly to the piece that I'm writing right now called The Same Shades of Gray, Why Socialists Are Threatened by Individuality. Everywhere you look, the leftist narrative is designed to collectivize us, to reduce us to little numbers, to reduce us to an ethnicity or a religion or a sexual preference. It's all collectivism. The cops are this. Black people are that. It appears to me, and even the stories of coronavirus and rioting, which is pretty much the two hottest stories on this day, May 29th, 2020, my mother's birthday, you still see this profoundly desperate need to lump us all together into groups and to take away individuality and individual freedom and personal responsibility. That's one of, and there are many others, the common thread that I see here. These are being used to impose a go-for-broke kind of socialism on this country, for which Americans have died, for which our ancestors have given their lives. We just celebrated Memorial Day. Do I care about this? Am I passionate about this? You better believe it. I am. That is why. So please look for that piece, because I'm going to tease just a little bit about that. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that it'll get picked up by several of the places that pick up my pieces, whether it's Western Journal or Town Hall or wherever else. It's always interesting, just as an aside, when I start writing something, it's like painting a picture, and then you do shades and you do coloring and you shave off a little here like a sculptor. It's really art. I see it as art anyway, and that doesn't mean I'm fabulous at it. Sometimes they turn out well, and sometimes I wish they would turn out better. But they take a lot more effort than talk radio, and I won't say I don't work on talk radio. I love it, love it, love it. I find it easier than writing. I've never thought writing was easy, but it's worthwhile because it lives forever. When these things get posted, they live forever. I want to let you know who I have on the program today, and because I've had the blessing of filling in for several shows in the last several weeks, longer even, I'm getting more and more guest possibilities. And in our first guest segment, we're going to have Ron Edwards, who happens to be a Black conservative. I always have a soft spot in my heart for Black conservatives, because they, like Jewish conservatives often, even more so, are treated like mascots in the Democrat Party. We own you, and you are obligated and expected to vote a certain way. I mean, not that any well-known Democrat has said that recently, Joe Biden. And if you don't vote for me, you ain't Black. I just love that. The very people that accuse their opponents of being racists are in fact racists. We just haven't had the guts to call them that. And that's precisely what they are. Anyway, so when we come back after this break, we're going to have Ron Edwards. And he is fascinating, a talk show host and a marvelous voice. And so I want to give him some time. And then we'll have Dr. Brian Jundeff about what's being exposed in the deep state. And a whole lot more. I'm sure you're going to be fascinated. He is a wonderful guest. So, Karen Cataline back in the saddle here on Spouting Off. Thank you for staying tuned. We'll be right back after this break.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
And And welcome back. You're listening to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline, and I am delighted to have with us our first guest, Ron Edwards. He is a talk show host. He does some wonderful short little bits, which we'll talk to him about, as well as he happens to be in, let's see, where, Michigan, right, Ron?
Oh, I thought you were going to say hell, but yes.
Welcome to Spouting Off, Ron Edwards. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. Glad to be here.
Great. Wonderful. First, before we get into, there's nothing really to talk about for a talk show host, tell everybody just a little bit about you and how you came to be a talk show host and a commentator and a pundit.
Well, that all derived out of being very concerned about our country, believe it or not. I did get into the broadcast industry early in my life and at the age of 16 in Cleveland. And I was always in news, and I just became increasingly disenchanted with what we were told to speak about and what we were not. And I always had opinions, and people were always telling me that you should do a commentary or whatever, and I never told a soul about it, about my desire to have my own commentary and market that all over the world and whatever. But it eventually evolved. I told you about that story last night, I believe, but you don't have time for all of that. But
because you know that talk radio just goes so fast once you get into it.
Yes,
and I invited
absolutely.
You on, it's funny because conservatives, we do not trade on our ethnicity. I just did a little monologue about individual freedom, individual responsibility, and the socialist need to reduce us all to whatever group we happen to have been born into. You happen to be a black conservative, which is even rarer, like hen's teeth, probably, than Jewish conservatives, although they are growing. So with all of this on a moment's notice, almost like pushing a button, like turning on a light, suddenly we went from coronavirus to rioting in Minneapolis and all over the country, including Denver last night. Tell us what you're thinking just in general. Give us some of your thoughts about this and what you think has to happen, which is evidently, obviously, not happening. We're going to have a lot of more trouble this weekend, and I shudder to think.
Yes, as the weather continues to heat up, you're finding trouble all over the place in Columbus, Ohio, my home state there. They busted up windows at the state capitol building yesterday, and they're going to Nutsville and in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where they're blocking up a major freeway. There's problems in Portland and many other locales continuing to brew across the country. This is all part of an orchestrated event here. You're talking about divide and conquer, destroy the United States from within. Read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and you'll see the blueprint that they're following to the letter, by the way. They're doing a great job of following their instructions. I wish Republicans could do as well on their end.
And people are falling for it, aren't they, Ron? They're just falling for it, falling in line. What is it with being able to, do you think these are rent-a-mobs? How many of them do you think are paid from other places? And, all of a sudden, is it an accident that we let out a bunch of criminals out of jail under the guise of coronavirus? Now they're on the streets free to riot and create mayhem. Think that's an accident,
Absolutely.
Too?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all part of the program. They wanted all of us healthy people to stay locked up in our homes like little chickens or whatever. And the grunts, the knuckle draggers, and the grunts of society, they let out so that they could wreak havoc and be available for $20 an hour via George Soros and others to, wreak havoc on beautiful American cities like Minneapolis. And that at one time, that was a city I even thought about living in because it was known for its civility and thriving economy and all that, but oh well, it's all in ashes now.
It is depressing.
Now.
It is depressing. On the other hand, just because we got to have a little balance here, let me ask you, what are you seeing in terms of, well, let me back up. It appears as if among the many things the hard leftists are afraid of is black support of Donald Trump. Are you seeing that, as I have, as a truly a major threat to the leftist agenda?
Oh, yeah, and it always has been, not only for Donald Trump, but it has always been a major threat for the thought, the mere thought of blacks, especially black men, supporting our nation, our Constitution, you know, that side of the aisle. And now that many of us, many of my fellow black Americans are starting to see the light and across that line into the light, the leftists are going to Nutsville, right? Because that's why, one of the reasons why you have open borders. So they want to bring in the lighter brown people to take our place, because other reasons, including the fact that people born in America are less likely to take these vaccines that they want everyone to be inoculated with, whereas those that they're bringing in are more likely to be amenable to such measures. I mean, there's so many tentacles to all of this. And in order to destroy a society from within, you have to make it angry at itself. And there's nothing more dangerous than people that are just above the level of plant life, running around, grunting, and destroying things. And half-cocked, they barely know that it's dark outside when it's, you know, midnight. And they're trying to burn down a police station in Minneapolis or break windows in the state capital of Ohio or whatever they're doing. And it has nothing to do with what happened to George Floyd. It has nothing to do with it. They've got to, this is their fun time now. You saw the people out running out there with 90-inch television sets. What does that have to do with
Exactly.
Grieving?
Ron, what's so interesting to me is that we've been so enculturated, I don't buy it, you don't buy it, that the last minute and a half of your very pointed and astute commentary would be called racist if I said it. If you said it, just like when I said that being forced to wear a mask makes me feel like I'm being told by my government to wear a yellow star on my chest. And you would not believe how many people on a leftist site called me anti-Semitic. They shut up for about a minute and a half when they found out that I'm Jewish. But why is it that certain people are allowed to make certain comments, other people are allowed to make other comments? Yesterday, I'll put this in the form of a question so you can actually answer it, Ron. And that is that yesterday I'm watching Fox News, in which the leftist pundits say, well, we have to be very careful not to make this about the riots. No, it's about George Floyd. Well, how about making it about the riots and holding people accountable regardless of the color of their skin? How about holding them accountable for their behavior?
Absolutely. Yeah? And that's one of the things that I've harped on for years. If you're so angry about these types of activities, get involved with enforcing the principles. The man, the police officer, killed a man in the streets for no reason. He should be up on murder charges, and let's deal with it. Don't even look at it so much as a black and white issue. Let's look at it at what it is. More importantly, the crime, the actions, and the justice that should follow. Now, burning down AutoZone or the 3rd District Police Station has nothing to do with punishing that gruesome former police officer who has been arrested, by the way. So
I read that.
This is a bunch of phony baloney stuff, and we have to really see through the smoke and mirrors.
It's an excuse. It is an excuse to create, as my dear husband says, hate and discontent. And for some reason, we are expected to give certain behaviors a pass, and other behaviors we're expected, well, we don't do it, we're expected, to hold people accountable to within an inch of their life. It is that lack of intellectual honesty and consistency that bothers me so much. You, as a talk show host, Ron Edwards, what do you see, given we're so far down the rabbit hole at the moment, what do you see as one of the most effective solutions to all of this? Tough question,
it's
It's like
sanitizing germs. You have to push forth with the truth that will sanitize people's minds and clear their thinking. You got to get them out of the fog of the unknown and get them into the reality of what's right and wrong, and convince them through truth that there's a better way and there's a different way, and get away from this hypocrisy. We have to abolish the practice of hypocrisy. Here are people getting angry, these knuckle draggers getting angry, going to Nutsville throughout the streets, and many of these same people, some of them who have been let out of prison, have themselves probably killed somebody, have beaten somebody, robbed somebody in order to get in jail for the first place, and now they're out doing it in front of everyone and won't get touched.
I mean, and they're getting positive reinforcement. They're being told that they're victims for victimizing others, which is such an injustice. It's so outrageous. What scares me and worries me, too, is it's always this way. Well, two things. They burn down a police station, which is there to protect the most vulnerable in that community. And that's always the way, so that it'll be open season of criminals on law-abiding citizens of all colors in that community. Meanwhile, they're threatening to visit the suburbs now. Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah, 3 days. Yeah, what an accident, you know, that it started Thursday and it's going to go throughout the weekend now, right? I don't see people putting up with it, but I am deeply, deeply worried about our country and the elected officials that have been that are inciting this kind of violence and hatred and crime and pain and misery rather than stopping it. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I hate to say this. I don't like saying it, but it's the truth. As my dad told me before he passed, when I was 12 years of age, he said, "Son, these people get what they deserve. If they decide to elect these people and they don't change and elect people from a different way, this is what they're going to continue to get. And since that's what they continue to vote for, that is what they deserve. And until they want to change, they have to change themselves and change who they vote for." So it is what
Ron
it is.
Ron Edwards, we have only about 30 seconds. I think what I need to do is let you go this time around, but we're going to have you back really, really soon because you're just wonderful and a great resource. Tell everybody how they can find you and reach you and connect with you.
Please contact me through my website, theronedwards.com. That's theronedwards.com. Also, so you can follow me on Twitter at theronedwards. And also, you can find out there where you can hear my talk shows, as well as the Edwards Notebook Commentary, which is heard across America. And also read my column America
great.
Out Loud. Yeah.
America Out Loud. That's Ron Edwards. That's just an appetizer of Ron Edwards. We're going to have you back again. Thank you for taking the time to join us. We'll talk real soon.
Thank you so much. Be blessed.
You too. Take care. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Brian Junedeff. He's been on this program before, and we have a lot to talk about with him. So stay tuned. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. This is Karen Cataline. Are you unsure if your current Medicare plan is still the best one for you? The annual enrollment period is right around the corner. This is the best time of year to review your plan and learn what's new. Anita McAllister is a licensed agent who will guide you through the confusing Medicare maze. Since 2011, she has helped many individuals and couples obtain Medicare peace of mind. Call her today at 970 515-6882 to set up a no-obligation, no-cost appointment. That's 970-515-6882 for Anita McAllister.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
And welcome back to Spouting Off. We are waiting for our guest, Dr. Brian Junedeff, and he'll be with us momentarily. But I wanted to take some time again to talk about, you know, it's so interesting when you've got these major, massive stories going on, and it's almost a way of throwing stuff at people so quickly that they don't have time to process it before something else happens. And so that's one of the reasons why sometimes people kind of get reduced into, well, just going along to get along. For example, here's a great personal story, I think. I don't know if it's great, but I'll tell you anyway. So this morning, I got a call back from somebody that I called yesterday. I was really busy yesterday. But I decided that I needed an outlet that wasn't politics because I'm actually more effective. I know you probably are too. When you take a complete mental break, like y'all know that I had a very brief vacation a couple weeks ago because it was my anniversary. And I thought, you know what? I have gotten so passionately involved in politics and what all this means and what I can do to make a difference and hopefully preserve freedom for the next generation and all of those things that so many of my dearest friends care about. They care about liberty above all because I think it's a moral imperative that I sometimes need to take a mental break and do something just for pure pleasure. And I used to have a lot more hobbies than I do now. And so I started thinking about, well, what did I used to really enjoy that wasn't politics? And I realized that everybody should have a hobby. Well, I always thought so anyway. I'm not telling you, you should. I have a lot of interests, but not necessarily hobbies. Everybody should have a hobby that they don't want to be professional at. They just want to do for pure pleasure. And years ago, probably in high school, I did some sculpting. I did some painting, but I like sculpting better. And I never learned how to throw a pot except one time I did. And it was way fun. It was just pure pleasure to get your hands. You know how people get their hands in dirt when they garden. Well, that's never been my thing, but get your hands full of clay and wetness. And, you know, maybe it's that scene in, you know, Patrick Swayze movie, Ghost. No, it's not that. It's not romantic. It's just very, very tactile. So I called this woman and she called me back and told me that in order to take a class in pottery, throwing pots and sculpting, I would have to wear a mask. I told her that that wasn't a law, and would she be willing to respect the fact that I will not wear a mask? I won't. I respect people who choose to. I won't shop in stores where there are laws that say I have to. I got kicked out of a store in Denver because I refused to wear a mask. It is an object of obedience, of stupidity, and of government control. Now, if I were visiting a loved one and they were vulnerable to germs, I would absolutely wear a mask because not only is that my choice, but it makes some sense. But to have the government make edicts that are not its purview, especially when there's so much controversy about whether masks matter at all, and for government to use this as a tool of obedience and further to use it as a tool to ostracize people who refuse, people who think for themselves and refuse to be made into scapegoats, and then being bullied because you're selfish because you don't wear a mask, even though it's foolish and stupid. Not that I have any strong feelings about this, you understand. So I asked this woman who does sculpting if she would respect that. She said, "I'm just trying to have everyone feel safe," she said. She's not required to do it now in that particular county. And legally, she's well within her rights because I believe in private business. If she wants to turn people away for stupid laws, she has every right. And I have every right, obviously, not to do it. But you see, when a government pushes an ideology that isolates, and these are all the terms that leftists used to use, marginalizes and bullies people for thinking for themselves, well, then I'm going to dissent. What bothers me is the enormous amount of the path of least resistance that people take in order not to make waves. And that's just, I think, what they're counting on, you know, is that people won't make waves. The other thing I notice is the people who are bending over backwards to obey were the same people who support rioting in the streets. I mean, you know, there's just a tremendous amount of intellectual inconsistency here. Those same people, if they're old enough and were liberals, and liberals used to say that you should do your own thing and you should question authority, question everything, think for yourself, be an individual, be different than everyone else. All of a sudden, they're marching in lockstep, even greater than anyone else. Why, I guess? I thought about this. I mean, almost immediately, did you notice it was the left who rushed to find a mask to wear? They rushed to do exactly as they were told. Why was that? Well, because it was a Democrat telling them to do it. Now, if a Republican had told them, you know, you got to wear a mask for your own good, they would have been rioting in the streets. Is this the basis on which they make decisions? Is that the basis for which they make decisions? No longer do we see a large number of people. Well, I think conservatives do. That's why I love my audience and audiences that listen to conservative talk. And we're allowed to disagree, too. Why they do their own research and they decide for themselves. That individual free will and thinking is what's missing here. Again, that's what my piece, I hope, will be about, is that. Now, when we are waiting for Dr. Joondeff, who I think is, it's my fault because I was told, I told him that I would have him at 20 minutes after the hour. So that's why we're waiting for him, because it's my fault. I wanted to have Ron a little bit earlier, and so that's why. It's always a dance when you ask guests, especially when you have two of them in a one-hour show. It's always a dance. So what I wanted to get to while we're waiting for our guest is start asking and send me, if you want, your suggestions. What is it that socialists encourage and what is it that constitutional liberty lovers encourage? Well, socialists encourage drug use. They apologize for criminality. They lack, you know, they want to explain away lack of accountability, which is a fascinating one, because if you take away accountability, then you do not have freedom. Freedom is what enables people, accountability is what enables people to have liberty. Because if suddenly you say, well, he's not old enough to make his own decisions and he shouldn't be held accountable, like rioters should not be held accountable for their behavior, well, then they don't have freedom either. Think about it. We are delighted to have our guest, and my fault, I could have called him earlier, but I just kept giving him different times. So thank you, Brian Joondeff, doctor of ophthalmology. No. He's a retinal surgeon, Dr. Brian Jundeff, who joins us here on Spouting Off. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Karen. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you.
Technically, I'm a doctor of medicine, but nowadays everybody's a specialist. So we all have our little niche, and that's all we know about. The rest of the medical world, forget it.
Yeah. And for everyone, he's a wonderful writer, an American thinker, Rasmussen Reports, and writes a local article for the Villager newspaper. And you wrote a great piece about cooking the books on COVID-19. That was when we were getting COVID-19 24/7 wall-to-wall coverage. And then, as I've been reporting and pontificating, within just a few days, the narrative completely changed, and now it's wall-to-wall racism that the media is covering. First, tell us about this article that you wrote, Cooking the Books on COVID-19, an American Thinker.
Well, it seems that death counts are being inflated a lot higher than they actually are, and there are a couple ways it's happening. One is they're doing COVID death by presumption. People that die that are presumed to have COVID, even if they're not tested, are being counted as such. And that could be an older person that has a cough or a little fever, and they pass away because of their bad heart or their lung disease or their kidney failure. And because somebody noted a cough or fever, they're presumed to have had COVID, and they attach that to the diagnosis. And there may be a reason for it financially. Hospitals get paid more if COVID is attached to the diagnosis. And also politically, there's a big political reason for the high death counts, because the Democrats are going to try to pin all of this on President Trump, especially going into the fall election. They're going to try to pin the economic mess from the shutdown, the death counts, everything. Everything bad that's come of this is going to be his fault in the media.
Mm-hmm.
And CNN and MSNBC will parrot that. So that's where the death counts come in. And Dr. Deborah Birx said as much. She said the CDC death counts are at least 25% higher than in reality. And she's part of the swamp. So if she says 25%, my guess is probably 50 or 75% higher than in reality.
And there has to be a motive to that. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy reading your stuff, Dr. Jundeff, because a lot of people who either do talk radio or write op-eds are afraid to talk about, conject, if you will, about the motive as to why. Usually when people are inflating numbers, they have a reason for why they're doing it. And you said it straight out. In fact, I had the pleasure. It's so funny. Today we'll have Chuck and Julie once again at 3 o'clock. And as you know, I'm a great fan of the Chuck and Julie show that happens at 3 o'clock on BBS Radio, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you mentioned with them that it's all politics at this point. And, now it's looking like this is the biggest step toward socialism dry run in the history of this country in its own right. So I think it's not only politics, but it is being used as this unbelievable excuse to impose socialism on us in a way that I don't think America has ever seen. Your thoughts?
Oh, it absolutely is. Fear is a great motivator, and they're ruling by fear. You're going to die from this. It's highly contagious. It's this, it's that. And people are fearful. People are maintaining social distancing. The economy's shut down, only slowly reopening. Everybody's wearing
Let's
a
talk
mask.
More about and that. I apologize. Let's talk more about that. Sorry, we got to take a break, and I asked you a big question. Let me take a break, and can you stay with us for the rest of the show?
Sure, absolutely.
Wonderful. We're talking to Dr. Brian Jundeff, retinal surgeon and writer. We're on Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Stay tuned. Yeah. This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N, and Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. Welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your happy host, Karen Cataline, and we are pleased to have with us Dr. Brian Junduff, a retinal surgeon and writer for American Thinker, Rasmussen Reports, and he writes a local column for the Villager newspaper in Colorado, and he is incredibly articulate and follows these things pretty darn closely. Thanks, Dr. Junduff, for continuing to stay with us.
Thank you, Karen.
My pleasure. So we were talking at the break about this pivot, the pivot to the racist riots. I don't mean to be flip about it because I was talking in my monologue about it, but it's just amazing how the rules change so drastically on a dime in the news cycle. You know, did you notice that too? And what do you think is I hate saying that. What are we watching? But what do you think is they're so blatant about the pivot now?
That's Peter's favorite expression. What are we watching?
That's why I didn't want to say it. That's why I didn't want to say it.
That's a Boyle-ism. We're watching the virus not working as planned. They were hoping to have the economy shut down until probably November 4th, I would say, after they dragged the carcass of Joe Biden across the finish line. And if he won the election, you can be sure that on November 4th, all the threats would be gone. Everything would be great.
They'd be celebrating and saying, see, we've returned back to normalcy. But that normalcy will only last, God forbid, that happens for about, I don't know, a couple weeks until they impose real serious socialism,
exactly.
As if this isn't.
But Trump sees through this, and he knows what's going on, and I'm sure he's working things behind the scenes. You can see, interestingly, how Dr. Fauci has changed his tune, you know, talking about masks and talking about reopening and how, you know, we can't stay closed indefinitely, and it's they're changing their tunes now, and it's not going according to plan. The economy is coming back. Yes, there's high unemployment numbers and a lot of businesses are in trouble. But there are other indicators that stock market's strong and people are getting back to work. And it's still May. The election is 5 months away and there's plenty of time to recover. So they need something else. And the Democrats and the left race is a very reliable club to go after Republicans. And you see it already on CNN and other networks that they're blaming Trump for what the cops did in Minneapolis. And Trump has nothing to do with that. This is a Democrat-run state, city, police force. These are all Democrats in charge. They set the culture, the policy, the tone, the everything.
But they never get blamed for it. They never get blamed for it. Maybe
not,
this
not on
time
CNN
they
or
will.
MSNBC, but there are people... Right. Like us talking about it, and you know, the Rush Limbaughs of the world with a larger voice, and people are talking about it. So it's people see through this, but very predictably, you're seeing riots in other cities. Denver got hit with it last night, and you're seeing it break out in other cities. So my question is, this has to be planned and coordinated. It doesn't just happen spontaneously. All these cities are on lockdown. Nobody can go out, and everybody's got stay-at-home orders. And yet these flash mob rioters appear. And there are organizations that organize this sort of thing.
That pay them. That pay them.
Yeah. If you need a mob, there are companies that will get you a mob, the rent a mob. And that's what's happening. And I'd like to know who's behind that, who's funding
that. Well, Soros is partly behind it. Soros money.
Is the DNC behind it? Is the Biden campaign behind it? Is Hillary Clinton? Is Obama? Who knows who? But this is part of the standard playbook, and it's throwing everything at Trump to try to stop him, to prevent his reelection, and to mitigate what Barr and Durham are doing. You have lots of declassifications and Obamagate revelations about the unmasking of Flynn, and his case is falling apart, and there's going to be more and more bombshells to drop in that respect, and how best to take it out of the news. You know, if the DNI's office releases unredacted documents this afternoon, CNN and the news networks will have no time for it because they're going to be replaying video of Minneapolis and burning the police station.
Dr. Brian Judiff, you sum it up beautifully that all these things are related. They don't happen in a vacuum. They're not suddenly, oh, there's this story here and there's that story over there. I've been watching it as almost a conversation back and forth, a race against time between the exposure of what the deep state is all really about and how threatening it is to expose it and all that people who are culpable are doing to try to keep it under wraps. Say a little more about that, because you follow this very closely. And if you watch it closely, you can see the conversation happening before our very eyes.
You're referring to Obamagate and all that business?
Yes, yes. And all the things that are being employed in order to not just change the subject, but the timing of these things being released at exactly the right moment when you've got people who are directly culpable in Obamagate and the entire deep state and its need to impose socialist global socialism on us and the things that they've done that are felonious in order to do so. And then you've got a president who has in no uncertain terms stated that that we will never be a socialist country, and he's going to do everything he can to expose it. So that's what I think we're really watching.
Well, there are no coincidences in Washington, D.C. You look at the January.
I was going to say that
the timing of the World Health Organization blowing this off and saying no human to human transmission, as it was being transmitted, and at the same time China was destroying evidence, and at the same time the House was impeaching the president. So these things all happened within a week of each other. It's a funny coincidence. It's almost like it was pre-planned and timed that way. In terms of Obamagate, the premise is simple. Obama and his administration weaponized the intelligence and justice departments to spy on their political opponents. And this has been going on long before 2016, probably at least the last 4 years of his administration. And as Trump was looking like he might win, they needed backup plans in place. And they were spying on him as well, Ted Cruz probably. And once Trump won, then they had to cover it all up. And how best to do that than getting rid of Michael Flynn, because he knew about all this and he would have figured it out, getting the Mueller investigation going. And that basically tied everything up. Nothing could be released. Nothing could be talked about while Mueller was doing his investigation, because it would have been construed as obstruction of justice. So in terms of separation of power, Mueller rose to the top of the pyramid, and nothing could be done. And that was all to cover up their wrongdoing. But Mueller is gone, and you've got some good people in there with Barr and Grinnell's DNI, and then now
Grinnell is great. Isn't he great? Aren't we happy with him?
I want him to become acting director of the FBI for a few months and clean that mess up.
Exactly.
But things are now being released, and that will come out, and I'm sure Trump is going to time this for maximum effect for the election.
I think so, too. Gosh, there's so many different directions I could go with the question. You know, one of the things that drives me crazy is that you never, ever, ever once see these people say, oh, never mind. Like, for example, you said that, well, now that the WHO is backing off and saying, okay, it's not spread this way or that way. And, oh, by the way, we ratcheted down the numbers. And, oh, by the way, the Mueller report was a bust. And, oh, by the way, you never see them. I'm not saying to apologize. I'm just saying to acknowledge that the facts aren't correct. It's the same way that the governor of Colorado continues to tell vulnerable people that they are safer at home when we all watched facts come out that have been not been disputed, that you're safer if you're outside in the sunshine and you get vitamin D. And yet they stick with this narrative no matter what, I guess, depending that ignorant people will never ask a question. That's what bugs me.
Well, people are like sheep and they listen. But Rush Limbaugh coins it the drive-by media, and they have their story. And once the story has served its purpose, they drive by onto the next one. There's
yes.
no mea culpa for 3 years of endless Trump-Russian collusion from Rachel Maddow and the gang at CNN and MSNBC repeating this over and over and over. Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, we found out that in congressional testimony under oath, none of these people had any evidence or knew anything about any Russian collusion, yet they'd go on TV and say the exact opposite. And
the exact opposite.
The networks were parroting it, and there's no accountability for that. None.
Boy, the time goes so fast, Dr. Brian Judendieff. You totally get it. It's fun to have you on the radio. How can people find you and read your stuff?
Well, I have a Twitter handle. It's called Retinal Doctor, R-E-T-I-N-A-L Doctor, where I post my articles and other fun stuff. I have a Facebook page where I post my articles. I haven't gotten around to a blog yet, but I utilize existing social media. I write for pretty regularly, at least once a week, for American Thinker, and that's probably the best places to find me.
Great. Well, thank you, Dr. Brian Judendieff. We'll have you on again soon. We appreciate
Thanks
it.
So
have
much,
a
Karen.
Wonderful weekend.
Well,
thank
that
you. About wraps
you as
it
well.
Up. My pleasure. That wraps it up here on Spouting Off. Go to my website, www.karencataline.com, or Facebook, Twitter, all the same stuff. Thanks to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. And oh, my thanks to HW, the multi-talented guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in next week when there's going to be oh so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.